You are listening to the Sunday morning sermon from Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia. You can find podcasts and other resources at www.faithbiblechurch.us.
Recently, we got to hear a comedian, Cyrus Steele, and he compared Mother's Day to Father's Day. And he said that Mother's Day is sort of like a national holiday that everyone celebrates, and Father's Day is kind of like Flag Day. A lot of people know that it exists, but very few people really celebrate it. And I thought that was very clever. Well, there's many things we can talk to fathers about from the Bible. And on Father's Day, sometimes it's appropriate to stop other things we're doing and to concentrate on the role of dads. And I thought of a couple of different aspects I could come at fathers on Father's Day. We could think for a moment about honoring our fathers, because even though everyone in the room is not a father, everyone in the room has had a father. And we all are called by God to honor our fathers. In Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 3, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." So young children are to obey their parents, but all children are to honor their fathers and their mothers throughout their lifetime. Honoring our fathers shows up in our attitude of respect, and it shows itself. It's not just something in our hearts. It's not enough to just think honoring thoughts about our fathers. It needs to show up in the way that we speak to our fathers, if they're still on the earth, or the way that we speak about them, the way that we defer to them, and even to celebrate dad. And we celebrate and honor our fathers based on their God-given high position in our lives. Certainly, it's doubly good when our fathers act honorably, but not all fathers do act honorably all the time. We certainly know that, but in spite of that, we know that God has given them this place in our lives, and God has called us to show honor to them, and so we do that. Certainly, that's the same with other people that God has put in places of authority over our lives. We think about the history of the world. There have been good kings, there have been bad kings, but the Christians have always been called to honor the king, whether good or bad, just because of their position that God has put them in our lives. The same is true with our fathers. Another thing we could talk about to dads on Father's Day is the role of the father. It's surprising that the Bible doesn't say more about the role of the father. If you think about it, where do you find information about the role of the father? There's really only a few scattered places. One of them is right here in Ephesians, where I just read 1 through 3, but verse 4 of chapter 6 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Certainly, we are called to bring our children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We are to provide for our children physically, relationally, and spiritually. We are to live out God's truth and to use God's truth as we care for our growing children. We are to teach them God's truth. We are to train them according to God's truth, not just giving their heads a full set of Bible trivia facts or data or information, but we are to show them how to wisely use God's truth in action. Think of all of the Proverbs that call out from a father to a son, "Listen to my words, receive the wisdom of how to live your life in light of God's truth." And we communicate to our children as fathers in all kinds of ways according to the need of the moment. Paul compared his ministry as a pastor to being a father in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, where he says, "For you know how like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." So even in this passage, we see exhortation and encouragement and charging of our kids to walk worthy of God's calling. According to Ephesians 6:4, we're also to raise our kids in the discipline of the Lord, and we want to take responsibility for correction and discipline for our children who do not walk according to God's words and God's truth. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 7 through 11, the author of Hebrews compares God's discipline of his children who get out of line with the father's discipline of his children when they get out of line. And the author of Hebrews says in verse 9 of Hebrews 12, "Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." One other instruction we receive in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 is, "Do not provoke our children to anger." And this speaks to the godly character that fathers are called to have. We are to lead our families out of the overflow of our own walks with God. We aren't to be selfish or angry, picking on our kids or playing favorites. We're not to be random in the way that we discipline them. But we seek to honor God and overwhelm kids with our love. So we can talk more about honoring fathers or the role of fathers, but this morning I wanted to speak about one important core of godly character that should mark our fatherhood, and that is humility. Humility. We know that there's going to be a lot of application for everyone when we start talking about humility, but I want to zero in specifically on dads. What does it look like if a dad is humble in his parenting versus proud? Let me set the table with a few scriptures. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom." Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33, "The fear of the Lord is instruction and wisdom, and humility comes before honor." Proverbs 29, verse 23, "One's pride will bring him low, but he who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor." And a couple of verses from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. "For thus says the Holy One," excuse me, "thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite." What an amazing verse that is. God says he is absolutely exalted in every way, and yet he dwells with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit. Boy, if there was ever a motivation for you and me to pursue humility, it's that. In Isaiah 66, verses 1 and 2, "Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me? And what is the place of my rest? all these things my hand has made. And so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. And one section in the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 7. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. In the ancient world, humility was not seen as a virtue to emulate. It was seen as a bad thing. But according to the Bible, humility is a great thing. Seeing ourselves as the creature before the awesome and great creator. Like I said, there's wonderful application for every single man, woman, boy, and girl in the room and who are listening to my voice. But I want to talk about fathers. Now, what does it look like when a dad is humble? And how does a dad become humble? Now, as I was thinking about this, I just came up with all kinds of things to say. And it was really difficult to group them together. And there's all kinds of overlap as you think of attributes of a humble dad or ways to become a humble dad. So I pretty much just gave up. Instead of trying to group it all together, I'm going to just hit you with the grocery list. So this morning, I have 19 points in my sermon. Basically, you could call it 19 causes and results of humility as a dad. Number one, you pray well. You pray well. Now, this is both, and several of these, many of these are going to be like this, it's both a cause and a result of being a humble dad. So if you're a proud dad, you pretty much think you've got it figured out. I got this parenting thing down. And so you don't really pray very much. Maybe you throw out a token prayer. Maybe you pray at a meal or something like that. But if you're a humble dad and realize the limitations of your fatherhood, you pray like you mean it, because you are well aware that you need help from God on high. You get to the end of yourself, especially when your kids become teenagers. You get to the end. I don't know what to do anymore. I don't know how to get through to his or her heart anymore. It's different now. How do you do this? Or some of the things that they go through, I just don't know how to fix. But I know that God does. And I know that I care for my son or daughter. And so I can pray for them. And I do pray for them. Number two, read your Bible. Read your Bible. You read your Bible as a humble dad for two big purposes. Number one, for you. Number two, for your kids. It's like prayer. If you think you've got it figured out, you might read your Bible, you might open it up, but pretty much I've got this. But if you know that it is absolutely essential for you to be a godly man, if you are going to be the right kind of father, you must know that you need God's truth, and so you read it accordingly. And if you know that the best possible things in life that you can share with your kids are from the Bible, you better read the Bible so you've got something to say. Sometimes in life you get boxes, and the boxes have things that are a bunch of different parts, and you have some instructions on how to put those things together and create the object in the picture on the front of the box. If you think you've got it figured out, you just rip up those instructions. Why? I don't even know Chinese. You know, you just rip, you toss them. I don't need this. I've got this. But if you are desperate to know how to put this with that and why are there so many extra parts in this box, then you pull those instructions out and read them very carefully. Even if you have to use Google Translate to translate the Chinese, you know, I've got to know what I'm supposed to do or what to do. Well, that's the same way with the Bible. Do you read it like a humble man, desperate for God's truth, so that you can impart that, apply it in your own life, and then impart it to your kids? Number three, open to receiving outside input. A humble dad is open to receive outside input. In fact, a humble dad seeks it out from wise friends at church and reads good books on how to be a great dad. Other people think that they've got it figured out, so why would I bother? In fact, here's the worst when it comes to parenting. Maybe, I don't know. It seems like, in my experience, my vast experience of being a pastor, and my vast experience of being a father, and my interaction with so many dads, one of the toughest pills to swallow for any parent is to hear criticism about your parenting. I would make a joke and say maybe it's just me, but I know it's not just me. It's everybody. You can hear criticism. I'm not talking about just people being mean. I'm talking about constructive input. It is just tough to hear. You don't want to hear. You got this figured out, or at least, what are you doing telling me? Because you don't have it all figured out either. But how important is it to receive input from other people on any area of life, including parenting? So listen to these proverbs. And I've told you this before, but I think it bears repeating. Sometimes when I'm being criticized or reproved for an area of my life, every part of my defense shields go up instantly. And like, I don't want to hear it. I'm coming up with justifications in my mind immediately, and so I don't want to hear it. But I have to discipline myself to go to verses like this in my mind. And I have to make myself believe what the Bible says in spite of how I feel and in spite of my defensive instincts at that moment. Listen to these words from Proverbs 9, verses 7 through 10. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Basically, if you wanted to summarize the Proverbs, because there's a whole lot of Proverbs we could read about this very topic, you could say, if you're open to receive instruction or correction, you're totally wise. If you resist hearing input from others, you are totally a fool. And this is directly related to humility and pride, isn't it? And so a humble dad is open to receiving outside input and even seeks it out because he realizes, I don't have all of this thing figured out. I need help from my friends. Number four, a humble dad utilizes others' help in teaching your kids God's word. A humble dad utilizes others' help in teaching their kids God's word. Now, we've seen already, it is your responsibility as a father to train your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You're responsible. You're on the hook. So when I think of my four kids and I think of their Bible knowledge, I mean, it's a sobering thought to think that I may have to answer to God for how much truth each one of my kids knows. How much did you impart to them? But I tell you what, a proud dad might say, okay, it's all up to me. So I'm just going to do my best and give them what I've got and let the chips fall where they may. But I tell you what, I feel the weight of responsibility for instructing my kids in God's word, but I am so thankful to God for you helping me to do that. I thank God when I hear great stories from Sunday school classes or our youth group or our Awana ministry or even gold nuggets dropped in the nursery. I am so thankful to God that even though I'm responsible ultimately, you help me in every possible way. There used to be a movement that taught, oh, if you are relying on Sunday school or youth groups, then you are just abdicating your responsibility as a dad. I don't believe that for a minute. The Sunday school and the youth group is not taking my place. It's helping me to do my job better. And by God's grace, it has been a great, great help to do that. So as a dad, if you're humble, you say, all right, I want to do my best to teach my kids some stuff, but I also want to take advantage of getting my kids to other stuff. Maybe sacrificing of myself to get them a good book or a DVD or to send them to youth camp or something like that. Sometimes it requires sacrifices, but that can be part of it. And if you're a humble dad, you want to use other people to help you get God's word to your kids. Number five, be thankful. Be thankful. Good things in your kids' lives are from God. How do we know that? Because the Bible says in James 1:17, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. Every good thing in your life comes from God. We don't want to be taking all the credit when our kids do something good or when we were able to provide something good for our kids. We don't want to step back and pat ourselves on the back and say, oh, what a great dad I am. Because, like the Bible says in another place, what do you have that you have not received? And if you've received it, why do you boast as if you hadn't received it? So how does that work itself out? Being thankful. Being thankful. When something good happens in your kids' lives, emotionally, spiritually, physically, relationally, thank God. And don't just be thankful in your heart. Be known for expressing that gratitude. I thank God for this great thing in your life. I thank God that you're able to do this. I thank God. Let everybody know how thankful you are. It's a cause and a result of being a humble dad. Number six, be content. Be content. A thankful dad is a content dad. It is okay to want good things for your family. It is good to enjoy some of the good things in this world that God has made. But we want to do everything for God's glory and then be content with what he has given us. And we want to keep the main things the main things. So what I mean is, a proud dad can go over the top by buying things for their kids or scheduling out every possible night with kid stuff. And we have to just examine our motivations very carefully, because we don't want to just be trying to live our lives and our dreams through our kids or to make their happiness an idol. We want to keep godly priorities primary and be content with the rest. So I don't want to be legalistic or sound legalistic, like don't do good things for your kids. No, it's a blessing to get to. But we just want to be really careful with our motives. And we want to make sure we're doing all that we do for God's glory and not so that we look good in the process or that we are making our kids an idol. Be content. Number 7, confess your sins thoroughly. When was the last time that you asked forgiveness from one of your children? A humble man will do that. Now, how often do we blow it as fathers? How often do we blow it as Christians? Pretty much all the time, right? Well, do you follow up when you've sinned against one of your kids by confessing your sin to your kids? And there, I also mean confessing it the right way. Don't minimize the sin. Don't make excuses for the sin. Be thorough and say, when I did this, it was wrong. Will you forgive me for that? As opposed to, well, you know, I was having a bad day, and oh yeah, everybody messes up a little bit, and sorry for that, and just keep going. No, take responsibility as a humble dad when you sin and confess it to them and ask for their forgiveness. Number 8, and this is related to that, offer forgiveness freely. Have you ever been like so upset at one of your kids that you were having a difficult time forgiving them? Even when they come to you and ask for forgiveness, you're still having a difficult time forgiving them? And you are becoming bitter in your heart against your kids. Well, listen to the Bible. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. We must never be tempted to say, hey, I know that you were supposed to forgive me when I confessed the other day, but now that you're sinning against me, hey, that's different. This is a different deal. I'm going to have to think long and hard before I consider forgiving you. That is not the way that Christians forgive. And it's not the way humble dads forgive. That's not the way Christians forgive. We want to be quick to offer forgiveness because we forgive out of the overflow of how we've been forgiven by Jesus Christ. I remember that time I was talking to a lady who was eaten up with bitterness and basically kind of offered just a grudging, minimal forgiveness to someone else. And I challenged her. I said, is that the way you want Jesus to forgive you when you sin? Which was sounded like a really strong thing to say, because absolutely not. Of course not. I need big time forgiveness from Christ. Well, that's the big time forgiveness that we offer to those that sin against us. So a humble dad offers forgiveness freely. Number 9, take time to spend with your kids regularly doing what they want to do. Now, it's important for dads to invest quality and quantity time with their kids. Pride wants to say life is all about me and my hobbies and my interests and my games and my shows. Humility makes a dad play dolls, or have a tea party, or get down in the dirt with their boys, and get sweaty outside playing around, or doing the things that they want to do just because you love them. I was talking to somebody recently about when we were pregnant with our first daughter, turned out to be Carissa. And I just knew that she was going to be a boy. You know, I mean, I said good things about being open. Of course, I don't care if it's a boy or a girl. Until I found out it was a girl. And I was okay in the doctor's office when it was confirmed. And I was all right with it and smiled and said the right things. And I was fine until we were like in Walmart or one of the big box stores. And we walked through the toy aisle and I turned down the doll aisle. And then it hit me. What is this? What is going to happen? I can't believe I'm having a daughter. True confessions. Of course, once I met my daughter, I couldn't wait to make her the biggest princess of all, you know. So that was great. The Lord took care of it between that moment and when she was actually born. But, oh boy. When you love your kids, though, and you're humble, you want to play the things that they want to play. I'm not saying that life is all about them, but I just think there's some proud dads that are just like, I don't want to be bothered with your stuff. I know in premarital counseling, this is moving away from the parenting to the marriage part, it's interesting when you talk to young couples and see the lights come on in their eyes when they realize, hey, some of the things that my fiance likes, I'm going to have to make myself like just to be with them because I love them, even though that's not naturally a place I would ever choose to go, or that's not naturally a thing or activity I would choose to do. I'm doing it because I love them. Well, that's the same with our kids as well. This is related. Number 10, allow your kids to grow up and be themselves. Listen to their desires and dreams. Certainly you offer input and wisdom from God's word and your experience, but that's really different than trying to impose your dreams on them. And so we want to allow our kids to grow up and be themselves. So when they tell you that they want to become a photographer wandering their way through Europe, taking pictures of cool things, you can tell them the wisdom of like a job and money and things that might pay the bills, but it's also good to listen to their dreams and desires and not just try to say, no, that's dumb, you do this instead. And number 11 is listen well. So not just listen to their dreams, but just listen. Be a good listener. It takes such discipline, but it's so important in the relationships we have in life to listen well. And this again goes to premarital counseling. I often tell the young couples, don't just think of yourself as listening. Show the other person that you're listening to them. Do it and give them visual clues, like putting the newspaper down and looking at them. Give them visual clues, like... Or audible clues like going, uh-huh, at the appropriate time. And even being able to repeat back the thing that they say. Those are great ways to prove that you're listening. Listen to these proverbs. Proverbs 18:2, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. And verse 13 of chapter 18, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. So it's hard work, but humble dads know how important it is to hear what's going on in the hearts of their kids. Number 12, don't assume that you know their motives. Pride does this. I know what you're thinking. I know what you intended by that. Humility and love listens and assumes the best about their motivations. Number 13, a 13th cause and effect of being a humble dad is to be helpful in your home. To be helpful in your home. This sets a great example of service. It sort of sets the tone in your family if dad is willing to be helpful. And I would say, be proactive. Look for an opportunity to serve your wife and kids. That is a big step better than just being willing to help if you're asked to help. I can fall right there. It's like, I'm willing to help. I'm sitting around doing my thing. If you ask, I'll help. If you beg, I mean, I'll certainly do it eventually. But that's a big difference than setting the tone and looking for an opportunity to be proactive and serve your wife or your kids. Also, under the category of being helpful, treasure and support your wife as she is the implementer of so much of the parenting on a day-to-day basis. And so if you're married and your wife is at home in the trenches and you're out and about, be supportive, be encouraging, and treasure her. Also, take the time to help your wife to be a good helper to your family in your family leadership. That could look like practical help and helping her to schedule her time and taking things off of her list, talking things through to be sure you're on the same page with her as she is implementing some of your family leadership in the day-to-day stuff of life. Number 14, leave the results of your parenting efforts in God's hands. Leave the results of your parenting efforts in God's hands. Remember the old Keith Green song? He said, we do our best, we pray that it's blessed, and he'll take care of the rest. And it kind of sounds simple, and it even sounds simplistic, but there is absolute truth in that concept. We can't manage the outcome of our parenting. That's why I really appreciate Martha and Stuart Scott's book on parenting that's called The Faithful Parent. We do our best to be faithful, but ultimately, we have to leave the results in God's hands. Our kids will each stand before the Lord and give an account for their own actions and choices based on what they know of God and His Word. So we load them up with truth, but then by God's grace, we have to launch them and leave them in God's hands, certainly praying for them every day of their lives that we can. Number 15, this is related. We're not self-righteous. In the way, not just the way we look at our own kids, but the way that we look about other kids as humble dads, as humble people. It's so tempting to want to compare our kids and the things we do with other kids and other families. And it's really tempting to become self-righteous about this or that. But isn't it interesting? We say, well, you know, last year, if we evaluated our kids next to their kids, it might have looked really different than it looks this year or next year or 5 years from now. It's like, it's so foolish to try to make those comparisons because we don't know, we don't ever know what's going on in someone else's home. We don't ever know all that's going on with this kid or this situation or that situation. And how dare we think that we can get on our high horse and drop down our judgments on what other families are doing? It is a dangerous place to be if we find ourselves proudly going, well, if they had just done 1, 2, 3, they would have results 4, 5, and 6. But we can never control the results ultimately. Now, let me stop right there. Okay, so what's the problem in that point? Self-righteousness. Okay, self-righteousness. That is not to say that we don't help each other in our parenting among our relationships. Okay? It's not to say that we don't notice what's going on in our brothers and sisters' lives. And sometimes we engage and try to help. We need each other. We desperately need each other. I said before, one of the points earlier was to be humble enough to seek input from others and even open when you get unsolicited advice or even criticism. That's humility. So it's okay to offer unsolicited advice if you dare. You know? I mean, and praise God that you have the kind of relationship where you can offer that kind of helpful advice, because we need it. We need outside eyes and ears, okay? But it's so important for us not to offer our advice and criticisms in a proud, arrogant, condescending way. We just need to be humble. We're in this thing together, and we're all over our heads swimming as best that we can by God's grace. We're in it together. We're in it together. So we're not self-righteous when we're humble dads. We want to leave space for other families to work it out differently than we work it out. Well, you know, what's the bedtime that's the right bedtime for this age? Really? You want to do that? You know, what verse are you going to use for the bedtime? And so I've got some friends that their kids stay up way later than my kids ever stayed up. And you know what? A couple of years down the road, their kids are still here. My kids are still here. We're all doing our thing. You can spend your time doing better things than judging someone else's bedtimes, right? We're not self-righteous. We want to give space. And yet, we want to have the kind of relationship where we can engage with one another and interact about how it's going and how we can help each other be the best that we can. Leave the results to God for your kids and for their kids. Number 16, embrace the gospel. Embrace the gospel. And by this, I'm thinking specifically about when we fail as dads. So a proud dad doesn't think that they fail. They don't need to ask for help. They don't need to make excuses or anything like that. No big deal. It's somebody else's fault. A humble dad takes responsibility for their sins, confesses their sins to their kids or their wife or whoever is appropriate. But a humble dad also seeks the Lord for grace and forgiveness. So listen to this verse from Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. It says, "How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Now, the author of Hebrews is comparing the sacrifice of Christ on the cross to the Old Testament sacrifices of blood, the blood of bulls and goats. And basically, the animal sacrifices in the Old Testament could never really take away sins. So every person has a conscience. You know if you're doing right. You know if you're doing wrong. Now, certainly, our conscience can become hardened and adjusted, but everybody's got that sense of right and wrong built in by God. Well, when your conscience tells you that you're doing wrong, you feel guilty. Well, you're guilty. You feel guilty because you are guilty in most of those situations. Obviously, the Word of God is our standard even more than our conscience. But if our conscience is informed by the Scriptures, we know we feel guilty. I'm doing wrong. My conscience is crying out within me. You're guilty. How can I have my conscience cleared? I can't do an animal sacrifice. I can't just try to do good works. I have to go to Jesus and go to his bloody death on the cross. And I have to acknowledge afresh that even though I sinned, even though I blew it and got all prideful and angry and overdid it in my discipline, whatever, it's a sin that Christ suffered and died for. And my standing before God is not based on my perfect parenting. My standing before God is based on the blood of Jesus Christ. And isn't that true of all of our sins and all of our situation? If you are trying to make it by being good enough for God, you'll never do it. Your conscience goes, not good enough, not good enough. And the bad thing about that is your conscience is right. You aren't good enough. You feel guilty because you are guilty before God. The only hope any of us has to be in a right relationship with God is to humble ourselves, confess our sins, and cry out to God for forgiveness. The reason why God is willing to forgive penitent sinners, repentant sinners, is because he punished Jesus in the place of sinners on the cross. And then on the third day, he raised him from the dead and said that if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, if you confess him to be your Lord by faith, you will be saved. You will receive the gift of his righteousness. Now that's great. That gets you in the door as being a Christian. But even as a Christian, we must continually go back to the work of Jesus Christ and remind ourselves of that glorious truth so that our conscience will be cleaned afresh instead of crying out against us. So embrace the gospel. We are glad to know that Christ died for proud dads. Number 17, meditate on God's awesome character. We said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. One of the reasons why we're so tempted to be proud is we don't fully appreciate the magnitude of God's greatness. And one of the ways we can learn more about God's greatness is as we read about his greatness in the scripture, we can stop and think about it. We can think about it. So if you read a chapter like Isaiah 6, which has God presented as holy and majestic in the temple, or at the end of the book of Job, or in Isaiah 40, or so many places where God's character is front and center throughout the Psalms, God's attributes are highlighted and celebrated. Stop and think about the implications of it. Meditate on it, and as your view of God expands, that will help your perspective to be aligned properly, and that will help you grow in humility. I would also suggest reading great books is a great help in this. A.W. Pink's book, Attributes of God, is a wonderful book. Knowing God by J.I. Packer, books by John MacArthur, R.C. Sproul, John Piper can all be great help. You say, but I'm a guy, I don't read. Well, humble yourself and do the work necessary to become the kind of dad you need to be. And part of that is reading a book, reading a good book that's going to help you know God better. Number 18. An 18th way to grow as a humble dad is to spend time with humble dads. And I get this from one of my favorite Proverbs, Proverbs 13:20, which says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. And my summary of that verse is, you become like the people you hang around with. If you want to become a humble dad, hang around with humble dads, and good stuff is going to rub off on you, and you will become a more humble dad yourself. Number 19. Consider the example of Jesus Christ. Now, certainly this is related to learning about the magnitude of God because Jesus is fully God and fully man. But Philippians really highlights the life and character of Christ as a motivation for us to grow in humility. Listen to these words from Philippians 2. Beginning in 3 and 4. So here's the command, and then notice how Paul bases it on the character of Christ. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. than ourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Okay, so that's my 19-point sermon. How are you feeling? I'm the preacher, and I'm feeling pretty crummy. Because the more we learn about the standard of humility, the more our pride shows up. The more my pride shows up. So I don't want us to leave feeling crummy. I think our encouragement is the gospel again. God knows all about it. He knows how hard it is. He's mindful that we are but dust. He knows the challenges of our parenting. He knows the exact kids. He knows if they turned out to be girls. He knows all about it. And he loves you and cares for you. He's given you this wonderful privilege and blessing, those who are dads. You've got a wonderful privilege and blessing, even though it's hard. Even though you're going to blow it and make mistakes. And he is so gracious and kind. He is not just sitting down with his legal pad, writing down every mistake that you make. He's not waiting to pin the blame on you if your kids do something wrong. He loves you and cares for you. He died to take away the condemnation that you deserve for the times you've blown it. He offers free forgiveness. And he loves you knowing that you would blow it. It's really amazing. And I would hope that you come away today, not just feeling bad, but feeling inspired and motivated to pursue humility, not to earn his favor, because you're never going to be humble enough, but because you have his favor through Christ, to be inspired to say, I'm going to take a step toward humility. I'm going to take a step, because God says he gives grace to the humble but resists the proud. So if we come away from a sermon like this going, well, I guess I am what I am, and we get prideful, God is going to slap us down. But if we hear this and say, okay, I haven't been as humble as I need to be, may it be that today I take a step down in humility, trusting that God will give me grace and lift me up another step. I think we can take that to the bank. That's what the Bible says. And I hope we're inspired to pursue humility as fathers, and all the rest of us as well, as we're all pretty proud people. Let's pray. Father, we don't even know what to say. With 19 points on humility and pride, we're all like pincushions, poked and prodded in all these directions. But we are so grateful that you love us in spite of our pride. And you love us enough to help us not stay in our pride, but to pursue humility. You've given us wonderful promises. You've sent Jesus to die for our pride. you've given us, the kids that you've entrusted to us, and those of us who have kids. And they're the exact right ones for us. And I pray that you would help us to be faithful and help us to freely acknowledge we don't have it all figured out and we need your help. And we're so thankful for your kindness in giving us help in all of these different ways. I pray that you would get glory for yourself in our lives and in our families. In Jesus' name, amen.